Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Joined this morning by Chris Wallace from Fox News Sunday. You were listening to Mike Toobin there from Fox. In fact, talking about these riots that are going on up in Minneapolis, Chris, and seems like a deja vu to what we saw here in Ferguson a few years ago.
Yeah, except I think the big difference is that the best evidence was that the officer in Ferguson did not kill. He shot him, and as a result, Michael Brown died. But it appeared that it was justifiable homicide. There's nothing justifiable about what happened in Minneapolis. I mean, that is just savage and horrible. And, you know, as we learn more about it, the case gets worse and worse. It appears the police lied. They said that George Floyd had resisted arrest. He was handcuffed, completely under control. They said that he died at the hospital. No, it turns out that when the EMTs got him, and put him in the ambulance, he had no pulse and was already unresponsive and probably was already dead. And it also turns out, as we find out more about it, that putting a knee on the neck of somebody the way he did, which was basically strangling him, was completely unjustified and unaccepted, not unapproved by the police in Minneapolis. So, I have to say, I kind of agree with the mayor. Why isn't this policeman under arrest?
Yeah, I was comparing it to what we saw here in terms of the looting and the police seemed to kind of stand aside last night in Minneapolis and buildings burned and all of that. But I agree with that. We've always held our police officers to a little bit of a different legal standard, though, right? I mean, if an officer does something acting legally as an officer, they at least there has to be an investigation to prove whether or not they went too far. Although the video seems to show that he did, I don't think they would normally charge an officer with murder the next day. There has to be at least a legal investigation of this, right?
Well, I suppose. I don't know the law in that regard. Clearly, the case of Michael Brown was very different in the sense that he was appeared to be charging. There was no video. There was definitely an indication there had been an altercation with the policeman, and Michael Brown was not under the control of the policeman. There's none of that in this Minneapolis case. This guy is on the ground for 4 or 5 minutes pleading, saying he can't breathe. His hands are handcuffed behind his back.
Right.
What possible reason could there be for this officer to keep strangling him?
I can't imagine. It's disturbing to watch. You can even hear people in the audio asking the police to stop, or he can't breathe, and they just ignored them. It was horrible to watch.
I mean, for minutes.
Yeah.
Look, there's no excuse for rioting. As often happens, the people that get hurt, it was certainly true in Ferguson, are people in the African-American community, because where they tend to riot tend to be places where they own the stores or where they shop. So it's not the right answer. There's no excuse or justification for it. You can kind of understand the anger. There ought to be more constructive and positive and less violent ways to do it.
I would agree with that completely. I wanted to change the conversation for a minute to mail-in balloting, which led to the president getting fact-checked on Twitter. And I wanted to play this bite from just a few years ago from one Congressman Jerry Nadler. Cut 13, please.
I just, as a very experienced, practical politician from New York, I feel constrained to observe that in my experience in New York, paper ballots are extremely susceptible to fraud. And at least with the old clunky voting machines that we have in New York, the deliberate fraud is way down.
So I think it's interesting from
a few
years ago.
But I don't think he's talking about mail-in ballots. I think he's talking about places where, you know, people would do a ballot and put it in a box as compared to using a machine, whether it's an electronic machine or as a kid in New York, I used to go into the polling booth with my mother and she used to let me, well, you'd hit the slots and then when you open the curtain, they would be registered. But, you know, the fact, there are a couple of facts here. One, there really is no history of fraud. I mean, are there any cases? Yes. But there was a study that was done between 2000 and 2012, I think it was, and there were over a billion ballots cast and there were less than 500 cases of fraud involving mail-in ballots. And here you've got the president complaining about it, and he did mail-in ballots, and Kayleigh McEnany, the president's press secretary, complaining about it. And it turns out that I think in the last 10 or 11 years, she has sent in mail-in ballots in Florida used mail-in ballots 10 times. So, you know, it does raise the question, if it's okay for certain people to do, why isn't it okay for everybody to do? Particularly, you know, we're talking about a special case here where you have a pandemic and people are worried about their safety.
Yeah, it's an absentee ballot, though, as opposed to a mail-in balloting. I mean, I understand they both get mailed in, but in the state of Missouri, for example, if you don't have a specific reason for voting absentee, you can't. And even though they've changed, they passed a law here recently where you might be able to mail your ballot in. If you do, you're going to have to go get it notarized to prove who you are, which is, I think, we've seen examples of problems here. That's the key. How hard would it be to duplicate one of these ballots and mail it in?
Well, you know, all I know is there are more and more states around the country, including some very red states, Utah, completely mail-in elections, and I think Washington State, I think five or six states, particularly out in the West, have mail-in ballots. I'm aware of the possibility, but particularly if it's mailed in, as opposed to vote harvesting, most of the problems have been in this. And, you know, there just is no history of fraud involving mail-in ballots. There are cases with absentee ballots where they're harvested, where some third party comes in. And this has been both Republicans with Democratic votes or Democrats with Republican votes, where they'll go into a neighborhood and they'll sweep up and say, hey, we'll bring all your ballots in. They're not mailed in. They're brought in. And then the person of the opposing party somehow, quote, loses the ballots in neighborhoods where people are probably voting for the other party. So that obviously is terrible and can't be allowed. But they're really, you know, I don't have a dog in this fight. I just have looked at the numbers and the research, and there really is not a history of mail-in ballots, whether they're absentee or just mail-in, serious fraud. And as I say, some of the people who abuse mail-in ballots are the president and his press secretary.
They've certainly used the absentee version of them. Chris, I'm out of time, my friend. We'll look for you on Sunday.
Yeah, I just like you're talking. I don't know that we did ballots last week, but we're certainly going to do the coronavirus 100,000 dead now, 40 million people, basically a quarter of the workforce, filing for unemployment claims. Right. But there seem to be signs we're reopening, and of course, we'll also be talking about the racial tensions both in Minneapolis and around the country.
Chris, Sunday's 1 o'clock Central Time here on Fox News. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Chris Wallace there.
Get more at 971talk.com.